May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the third chapter of St. Luke, John the Baptist declares an emergency on the problem of being human. He declares a state of absolute enmity between reality and the human person that is so striking that it requires some kind of reflection. He says to the people clustering to hear him, John says, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree." Now, this is such an urgent, powerful... What is he saying here? He's saying that he's getting into our archaeology. I mean, everybody here has archaeology. And the archaeology of our life is full of many layers and substrata. And the axe is being laid to the root of our archaeology. Specifically, he's referring to death, emotional, psychological meltdown, and tragic and appalling destructive circumstances. We are like a tree that is currently in a danger of being cut at the very root. Now, this is actually the way it is. My first thought when looking at this passage was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a hymn that our grandparents used to memorize in school, not the Village Smithy, but another one, and he wrote a poem called "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." And in this poem, he surprisingly hits the note of the axe being laid to the root of the tree. The poem is justly famous. You'll recognize it, and you can YouTube it because it's been put into several musical versions. And he starts by simply saying, the Concord poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote this in 1863, he describes the joy of Christmas. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And now John the Baptist makes his appearance. Writes Longfellow, "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Well, the poem doesn't end on such a tragic note, but the point is Longfellow's son had enlisted in the Union Army and was a regular officer, and he was critically wounded at the Battle of Mill Run, and at the time of the poem's composition, Longfellow did not know whether his son would survive or not. Exactly the same two-month period, Longfellow's wife, whom he adored, died suddenly. So the axe is laid to the root of the tree of the great man. And his son is taken from him, so far as he knows, and his wife is taken from him instantly, and he does know. So what I really want to actually ask you to think about with me, can you accept the fact that in a certain sense the axe is being laid at the root of the tree? You've got an emotionally disturbed grandchild, and this is the number one crisis of your entire family experience. You have a daughter who's going through an egregious divorce, and it's not at all finalized, and the cruelty that is involved and the sheer financial malice, let me repeat that, the sheer financial malice has got to be seen to be believed. Maybe the person you love the most is beginning to lose it. And suddenly you realize late one night, you know, she's really not there any longer. How long will this go on? Now, this is what Longfellow understood. Underneath all the beauty and the power and the cyclical glory of Christmas, there was a reality in which he had to accept the fact that the axe had been laid at the root of the tree. And I wonder about you, if underneath the surface that you present, which is normally cheery and sunny, is something far more abrasive and concerning. And sometimes people are so subtle that underneath even the reality of the axe, there is even a further axe. And this explains surprising suicide and acting out and murder. Because sometimes even underneath the second layer of the archaeology, there is a third layer of the archaeology, a burned over city, which is producing nothing but hot antagonism. So I think the word of John the Baptist is very apposite. The axe is laid at the tree. Now, typically, his listeners say what everybody always says, especially here, I mean in our lives. Okay, I get it. What do I do? That's the what do I do? You know, okay, life is a little bit challenging to me right now. What do I do? Now, he proceeds to give a kind of answer, which is plainly bogus, because he undoes the answer as soon as he says it. This is what he says. I'll tell you what to do. Keep it simple, stupid. That's what he says. I'm translating the Greek. Keep it simple, stupid. In other words, if you want to know what to do, be nice to your neighbor, pay your taxes, don't lie on your requisition slips, give to Habitat for Humanity, and if you're in the service or a policeman, don't abuse your authority. That's exactly what he says. And you might say, wow, that's great, thanks. Hey, all right. Now that is foolish advice, because it's superficial. I mean, let me say what it's like. We all know that when we are recovering from surgery, we have to take our recovery slowly, right? You're recovering from surgery, so don't overdo it. Just walk a few steps each day, or go to the bathroom once, you know, but whatever. Don't overdo it. Don't overextend. Or if you're recovering from a nervous breakdown, don't go back into the world that threw you into a place of anxiety, but rather play a little solitaire. Or just watch some, you know, soap operas for a while. Gentle it down. Listen to the Carpenters, right? Do something simple. Keep it simple, stupid. But the trouble is, those things, while they are good to resuscitate you and rehabilitate you, do not minister to that thing which actually threw you into the crisis. You actually had to have surgery. You actually had to go into a 28-day program over here. You actually had to really stop. So when he says those kind of Tony Roberts things, he's just, it's whistling in the wind, because they're unsatisfied. Did you note that? He tells them, keep it simple, stupid. Let me repeat what I said. He says, people, we got trouble. We got trouble here in River City. The Music Man, right? We got trouble. Your family has trouble. Your marriage is in trouble. Your teenage child is in trouble. Your 28-year-old son is really, really lost. You got trouble. Well, so here's what you do. That hints from Heloise, you know. And you know immediately that that's only a kind of facile, part-time answer, because the problem remains. And they know it, because they say the people were troubled and in expectation. They needed more. Now, this is where we come to the great power of how human healing and release is affected. He stops. It's as if he sort of says, I was just kidding about the KISS, you know, because obviously the problem that you're having, the autistic child, the spouse who's losing it, the IRS audit, your depression that is resulting in hoarding, whatever it is, obviously those things are more tenacious than I have been able to talk you out of. So you need something more. And I'll quote the Grateful Dead. I need a miracle every day. I was talking to someone at an earlier service who's my age, but in my mind looks 10 years older than I do, because I obviously think I'm 10 years younger than I am. And he said, I completely think you were wrong about the Rolling Stones this morning. And I thought to myself, what do you know about the Rolling Stones? That was my thought, because it looked like my father. And then I realized he looked younger than I do. So you understand what I'm saying? Where were we? I need a miracle every day. I need something more. And he gives it to them. Now, this is the conclusion. I've said that we have an axe laying at the root of the tree, and that's you and me. We think that we can solve it by a series of steps to begin to get up from our falling down. But the problem is bigger, as we all know. And John says this, your problem will be solved by someone who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, this is very serious. And religion is a little bit vague on this one. I can't give you an exact answer to the problem of the axe, but I can give you the general outlines of what he's saying. You need the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, probably most of you are aware that this parish, All Saints Winter Park, had a visitation from the Holy Spirit in the 1970s that became nationally known. The rector at that time had a religious experience, and he got to know other people who had had a religious experience, and all of a sudden, people were coming to All Saints Winter Park from all over the country, believing that God was sort of pulling a Pensacola. He was doing something here. That's a reference to the Pensacola revival of the 80s, that God was doing something in this parish that was in which religion had finally been superseded by actual God, and that God had made a way in this parish. And it was an extraordinary time to be at All Saints Winter Park, right here. And healings happened, and people felt that the axe had been laid to the root of the tree, men who had been convicted of terrible crimes, women who were at the end of their tether with drawn-out impossible marriages, young people who were going straight from cocaine to worse, older people who were at a loss to know what to do with members of their split families. And God arrived in a way. He came here, you might say. He came to a parish in Connecticut. He came to a parish in Akron, Ohio. He came to a parish in Virginia suburbs. It's hard to say why, but he did. And what happened was people felt that in the midst of their problems, they needed something beyond any kind of teaching. They needed the actual presence of God to blow their egos away and raise them from the dead. It was that strong. People talked in that dramatic language. I was present here when it happened. And what I want to say to you is that if you are thinking to yourself, you know, I sort of know what he means about an axe being laid to the root of the tree of my life. I hate it, but I'm afraid it may be actually taking place. The answer is an openness to the Holy Spirit, entirely independent of your context, to actually take a lead role upon humble request that is always prerequisite is being burned alive by experience. Burned alive by experience. Because when you are really at the end of your rope, you find that that is where God's office is. And that is what St. John the Baptist was saying. Forget about all the talk. You need the Holy Spirit with fire and with a baptism to create a new situation. Well, I'll just give you a final example, to which I don't really have an answer. I have an old friend. He was my college roommate at a certain period. He was very much in love with a woman back 50 years ago or something like that. And recently, he's very happily married, has a great family, and they broke up, you know, when long, long ago. But recently I found out that she had died. And I called him and I said, Shelley has died. And he completely lost it. And I said, you haven't talked to her for 47 years. That was a very helpful comment. And he said, I can't believe she died. And then I said to him, well, Bill, you may not remember it, but I happen to be the owner of some letters that you gave me 45 years ago that you exchanged with Shelley for reasons that I don't even understand. I became the possessor of some letters that were passed between her and you in that very difficult period of your breakup. And he said, you do? Can you find them? Well, I looked and I found them. And I called him and I said the following. I said, Bill, I found the letters, but there's something about the letters that I'm not sure, I don't understand. And he said, what? Send them to me. I want to read them immediately. I said, well, they're covered in blood. They are soaked in blood. Some of them are smeared in blood. Others have been dipped in blood, and it was blood. And so they are covered in blood. Oh, what? Well, I don't know what the cause of it is, and he didn't know what the cause of it is, but there they were. For some reason, that struck me as that's what's called the Holy Spirit will baptize you with fire and rain, because the dismantling of a man's past that occurred over the telephone in talking about letters that were 46 years old, it was like literally I watched a man burning in front of me to death. And at the same time, I watched the possibility of a new birth. So I'd like to conclude the sermon. That's a heavy illustration, isn't it? But it's totally true. I'd like to conclude the illustration by quoting from The Kinks. The Kinks, right? The Kinks. The number five of all great English. I have wonderful friends. They were one of the great English invasion groups. And one of the early songs that was written basically summed up this sermon. It was written by Ray Davies, performed by The Kinks and many others. It's a famous song, but maybe not to you, but it feels that way to me. And he's describing a new girlfriend as opposed to sort of the old patterns. And this is what I want you to remember from the sermon. The song goes, is this the start of another heartbreak, girl, or something better beginning? In other words, I'm about to start something new, and is it going to be the old, which will simply be a repetition of the old? Or am I going to stop, and might this be something better beginning? Is this the start of another heartbreak, girl, or something better beginning? Well, I guess the prayer that I say for myself, and I might encourage you to consider saying it for yourself, is if the axe is clearly being laid at the root of my tree, everything else has not been working here. Let it burn me away. And God, cleanse me and give me a new birth. Amen.